Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu. In alhamda lillahi ta'ala nahmiduhu wa nasta'inu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم. Good afternoon. You're with Imam Luqman Ahmed, our show, The Muslim Review. I want to thank you for tuning in to the show today. Today we're going to be doing study. We're going to be studying Quran and this Sunnah, which is favorite pastime, one of my most favorite pastimes, and it should be yours as well. We're going to go a little deep today. We're going to be looking at the book Riyadhus Salihin. We're going to take you through that. We're going to dive into the book to get you an understanding, to get us all a better understanding of principles that are important in our religion. Now, study of Quran and Sunnah itself is one of the most prestigious pursuits of all, because this is how we acquire, one of the principal ways that we acquire knowledge and guidance, through the study of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there's a lot of things that you can study. There's a lot of books that you can go into. There's a lot of text. We have all sorts of Muslim text that you can read. So we're going to just narrow it down today to Riyadhus Salihin. I want to talk a little bit about the author of Riyadhus Salihin. His name was Imam Abu Zakaria Muhyiddin Yahya Ibn Sharaf An-Nawawi. And he was, he lived in the 7th century of the Hijri. He was born in the year 631 of the Hijri year. And he was a remarkable individual in whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved the knowledge of our scripture within him. As a youngster, the thing about Imam An-Nawawi is that, you know, he lived to be 45 years old. He never married, and he dedicated his life to the study of the Quran and the Sunnah and our religious text. And he started at a very young age. When he was a youngster, and he was born in the city of Nebo, which is not too far from Damascus. It's actually a suburb of, not a suburb, but it's not too far from Damascus, Syria. When he was a youngster, when the other kids used to want to play, he would spend his time memorizing Quran and reciting Quran. They used to almost have to force him to play with them, and he put up a fight. He was like, no, I'm not really into playing a lot. I really want to study. He was just taken by nature. And so some of the people in his town noticed that in him. In fact, one individual who was considered to be one of the shuyukh of his area, his name was Sheikh Yasin ibn Yusuf al-Marqashi. And so he remarked to Imam Nawawi's father, he said, you know, I see in your son a great capacity for religious learning, and you should pay attention to that and continue to push him and support him in that direction. So when Sheikh Marqashi said this to his father, his father was like, well, are you a sayer? Are you a magician or something, astrologer or something? And he responded to Imam An-Nawawi's father. He said, no, I'm not. but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused me to, you know, he inspired me to say this to you. So his father eventually took Imam al-Nabawi when he was young. He took him to Damascus, and that's where he really started his studies. He studied with many shuyukh, and we're not going to mention all of them right now, but there was this Abu Ibrahim Ishaq, he studied with him. He studied with Abdurrahman ibn Ahmed al-Maghribi, Abu Muhammad, Abdurrahman ibn Ibrahim al-Farazi, Riyad al-Din, Abu Ishaq Ibrahim ibn Abu Hafs, and so many others. And he was just, I consider him one of the geniuses of our religion. Now, he wrote many books. It said that he had over 500 different compilations. Now, all of them have not been preserved and come into print, but there are several that have endured through time. One in particular is the book that we're going to be studying today. Now, if you have a copy of Riyad al-Salihin, which is the name of the book, it's called Gardens of the Righteous. If you have a copy of that book, then I want to suggest that you go and, you know, get your copy, put it out, could kind of go with us through the day. If not, then just you can go online and get a copy of the, you know, and read the book online. It's a very, very popular, well-known book. Or you can also simply follow us here on the show. So here's the thing. Riyad al-Salihin, well, first of all, let me mention the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because there's a methodology with respect to study. And listen, Allah says in the Quran, وَلَكِنْ كُنُوا رَبَّانِيِّنَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابَ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ. He says, but be ye ardent worshippers by virtue of what you are teaching of the book, and by virtue of what you are studying yourselves. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'ana wa 'allama." He says, "The best of you is the one who studies the Quran and teaches it." Now, this is a lifelong process of the believer, of the Muslim. You're studying scripture, you're teaching scripture. You're studying scripture, meaning learning scripture, and you're teaching scripture. You're studying and teaching back and forth. You're taking verses in, and you're spreading that information to others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Belligh anni walau ayah." He said, "Inform about me, even if it's just a verse." So this is how we live our lives as Muslims. We study scripture, we teach scripture, we try to understand scripture. Now, in this hadith that I mentioned earlier, I mentioned the first part of the hadith where the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, innama al-ilmu bita'allumi, verily, knowledge is acquired through study. And then he said, wa innama al-fiqh bitafaqquhi. And he said, the understanding is acquired through process, thinking, seeking to understand. For example, you may read a verse, or you may read a hadith, or you may hear a hadith or a verse from the Quran, and you may not even understand it totally the first time you hear it. And you may hear it again, and you may hear it several times, and then one day you're like, wow, you know, I really get this hadith. Or you may understand it at one level, and then through the process of repetition, of repeated study, of repeated recollection, you understand it even better. This saying with verses in the Quran, you may read the whole Quran in its entirety, because the Quran constantly reveals itself to you if you study it. I'm not saying you're... When I say it reveals itself to you, that the words of Allah, the words of God, the words of the Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can read it one time, and you may not get it, or you may get some of it, or you may get all of it. And you can read it again, and again, and again, and through repetitious readings of it, you start to get a really good understanding of what the Book of Allah is saying, what these verses are saying. So, in Riyadh al-Salihin, the way Nabawi set this particular book up, and much of his teachings, and much of the way that Islam is taught, the way that we teach scripture, is that we build upon our understanding. We start with one thing and we build upon it over a period of time. We keep building on our understanding of the book. We'll take, you know, understanding Islam is not, you know, you don't just understand everything all at once, you know. What you do is that you consistently build a chest or treasure trove of knowledge within yourself. And then as you pursue that, as you add more hadith, as you add more verses of Quran, I'm not saying you have to be a hafiz, someone who memorized the entire Quran. No, that's a prerequisite for understanding. Understanding basically comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the Prophet said, من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. Like the Prophet said, whomever Allah wants good for that person, now listen to what I'm saying here, whoever Allah wants good for that person, he gives him an understanding of the religion. And so the understanding of religion does, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either he will guide a person or he may not guide a person, or he'll guide a person to a very, very great degree. He'll guide a person to a lesser degree. The pinnacle of guidance for the believer, for the Muslim, is to know La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That's the number one thing that you should know and understand, that there's no God except Allah, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. That is the principle of knowledge. And after that, it's knowledge of individual things, of the verses, of the history, of seerah, of fiqh, especially fiqh, because that deals with the laws of Islam, the laws of our scripture, how to live, knowledge of akhlaq, of character building. Like the Prophet said, inni bu'ithtu li utammima makarim al-akhlaq. I was sent to complete excellence of character. So the Prophet says, I was sent. One of the reasons he was sent as a prophet was to teach people character, how to live. Allah mentions, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهُ كَثِيرًا. He said, verily, this is the verse in Quran, Allah says, verily, in the messenger of Allah is a good example, is a great example, uswatun hasana, to the person who wants Allah and wants to be in a good condition on a day of judgment and who remembers Allah much. And there's another verse where Allah says to the Prophet to tell the people, قُلْ إِن كُنتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي yuhibbu kum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wallahu ghafurur rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you love Allah, then follow me. Mean follow the messenger. Yuhibbukum Allah. Allah will love you and forgive you for your sins, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. So this is how it works. We study, we teach, we seek to understand, we contemplate the verses of Quran. I gave a khutbah yesterday about the effects of the Quran on the heart. How you listen to a verse of the Quran and you take from it how it pierces your heart. It pierces your intellect. It pierces your being. Allah says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ وُجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Allah says, verily, the believers are those people whom when Allah is mentioned, it warms, softens, it curdles their heart. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ, and when his verses are recited to them, زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا, it increases them in faith. وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, and they also depend upon their Lord. This is how Islam works, folks. This is how knowledge comes. This is how we dive into the religion of Islam. You know, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً. Allah says, O you who believe, enter all the way into Islam. Enter all the way into Islam. Dive into Islam. And one of the ways you dive into Islam is by studying scripture, paying attention to what was revealed to Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it is the truth. This is what he came with. He came with the haq. Now, excuse me for coughing because I do have a cold. Alhamdulillah, please keep us in your dua. Now, all that to say, let's look at Riyad al-Salihin. If you have a copy of the book, I want you to open up your copy of Riyad al-Salihin. I want to start again with the first chapter. The first chapter is called Ikhlas. You know what the word Ikhlas means in Arabic language? It means an opening by which a person goes from the outside into the inside. That's what the word ikhlas means. It means an opening. Here, for the sake of our study, excuse me, we had a little problem with the mic. Here, for the sake of our study, it means sincerity. It means that you get away from the outside image of things and you go into the reality of what's on the inside, just like in the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allaha la yanduru ila suwarikum wa ajsamikum walakin yanduru ila qulubikum." And there's different variations of that hadith, but in this particular one, variation or narration, I think it's in Sahih Muslim, he said that verily Allah does not look at your suwarikum, at your outside appearances and your bodies. وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُوا إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. But he looks at your heart, and that is true. Allah looks at what's in your heart. And so the way Imam al-Nawawi put together Riyadh al-Salihin, and we're going to try to go through a lot of this book with you throughout this year, inshallah ta'ala, through either our radio program or our podcast. Again, you're listening to Imam Luqman Ahmed on the show, The Muslim Review. I'm your host, and today we are reviewing Riyadh al-Salihin. We're starting from the beginning. If you were just tuning in with us, then I want you to go. We're looking at the first section of Riyadh al-Salihin, the book of the Gardens of the Righteous by Imam an-Nawawi, and we're going over what's called the section of Ikhlas. Now, this is the way that Imam an-Nawawi entitled this section. And before I give you the full title of the section, I want you to understand the style of Imam an-Nawawi in teaching. Okay, he dedicated his life to this. Teaching the religion, learning religion, studying and teaching the religion. Going back, study, teaching, study, teaching, study, teaching. This is how it works. So in the first section, each section he would call Bab. Bab literally means door. Abwab is the plural doors. Many of the scholars use this terminology in chaptering their books. Imam Bukhari used it. Bab so-and-so, Bab is so-and-so, Bab of this, Bab of that, Bab of that. When we used to study fiqh, we would study abwab al-fiqh, doors of fiqh. Because the door indicates that you're entering into, like, you know, but like when you study Islam, inshallah, Allah blesses you to have the opportunity to study, to have a sheikh, to have someone you can study with or can teach you the religion, because we all have teachers that pass down the religion from generation to generation to generation to generation. So when you enter into it, it's like, okay, you're outside of it. You're doing something else. Then you turn your attention to the study of whatever it is, and like you go in that door, you go into that world of study. During that period, whether hour, 2 hours, 90 minutes, a half hour, 20 minutes, even if it's just a small talk after the congregational prayer, you're going into the door of study. And when you get inside the door, then you're going to discuss whether it's Quran, whether it's hadith, whether it's a section of fiqh, whether it's a mas'ala min masa'il fiqhiyah, legal issues, and you literally swim through that pond. You literally take that big gulp of knowledge and you add it to your repertoire of what you have of knowledge. And this is how it works. You build, you build, you build. And this is how you get a broader understanding of Islam. And after a while, you see how what you might have learned 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 months ago, now it connects to something else that you just learned yesterday or learned today. And that's how knowledge, because it's all one circle. You know, many of the ulama, many of our scholars consider the Quran itself to be kalima wahida, to be one word. Even though it's many, 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 many words, it's considered to be one word because it's all connect. It's the one word of Allah. And even Allah uses that in certain cases, in one verse, where they say, Rabbi irji'un la'alli a'mal salihan fi ma tarakt. When, you know, Allah says that, you know, some people after they die, they'll say, Rabbi Rajiun, oh Lord, send me back. La'alli a'malu salihan fi ma tarakt. So I can do righteous deeds, you know, and what I left back, like I didn't, you know, like send me back to the world because I'm dead now. You know, marvel the Lord that we put in that position, we have that such regret. Because we want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mutma'in, at rest, radiyatan mardiyah, being pleased with Allah and Him pleased with us. That's how we want to meet Allah. We want Allah, He's pleased with us. We want that to happen, just where Allah says, yeah, ayatuha nafsul mutma'inna, oh you soul, where the angels are saying, oh you soul, who is at peace. This is how you want to meet Allah when you die. When we die, we all want that. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. Return to your Lord, pleased with Him, Him pleased with you. فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي. Enter ye amongst my servants. وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. And enter into my paradise. That's what we want. But some people, and we ask Allah not to make us of those people, they'll die. Well, it says, حَتَّ إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُهُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Until death comes to one of them, and he'll say, رَبِّي Arjiun, send me back. La'alli a'malu salihan fi ma tarakt, so I can do righteous deeds in what I left. I messed up. So Allah says, when they say that, He says, kalla, innaha, hiya kalimatun huwa qailuha wa min wara'ihi barzakhun ila yawmi yub'athun. Allah says, so when it happens, Allah says, kalla, He says, no, innaha hiya kalimatun huwa qailuha. He says, that's just a word, and He uses the word kalima. That's just a word that He said. Even though what the person Allah is talking about, what they said, was a complete sentence. But Allah still calls it one word. Just like He says, وَمَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Allah says, like the example of a good word is like that of a good tree. Asluha thabitun. Its foundation or its root is firmly foundationed. Wa faru'uha fis samaa, and its branches reach up to the sky. But the point Allah says, this is kalima. He mentions, uses it in the singular kalima, but He means a lot of different words. And this is how, when we go into the study of Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you are studying a lot of different things all together, a lot of different verses, but essentially you're studying one thing. It's one topic. Even though the topic breaks down into several, multiple subtopics, you're really studying one topic, and that topic is the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all deen. This is your deen you're studying. This is your deen you're trying to understand. That's why the Prophet used the word deen to summarize all of what the religion entails. It is the deen. That's why He says, whoever Allah wants good for him, yufaqqihu fid deen. He didn't say yufaqqihu fil Quran. He didn't say yufaqqihu fil Hadith. He didn't say yufaqqihu fil Sirah. He didn't say yufaqqihu fi Mirath. He gave him understanding of Sirah, or give him understanding of Quran, or in this particular hadith, he says he gives him understanding of the deen. It's the deen. Just like Jibreel alayhi salam in the hadith of Jibreel, the very famous hadith, where Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hadith of Umar, the famous hadith when they were sitting in the desert, and Umar related, radiallahu ta'ala an, may Allah be pleased with him, baynama nahnu julusun عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اطلع علينا رجل شديد البياض الثياب وشديد السواد شعري لا يرى عليه أثر سفري ولا يعرفه أحد منا. And that hadith I just mentioned, the beginning of it, when Umar said, one day while we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, when suddenly a man appeared to us who had an extremely white thobe on, and he had extremely jet black hair, and he had no signs of travel. Now, they were in the desert at this time. They were traveling. You know, you travel in the desert, homie, you're going to be dusty. Umar said, "La yura alayhi athar as-safar." He had no signs of travel, and no one from amongst us recognized him. And the hadith goes on and on and on. But at the end of the hadith, the Prophet asked them, "Atadruna man as-sa'il?" Do you know who that questioner was, who came, the person that came and asked these questions? And he said, Allah and his messenger knows best. We don't know. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, innahu Jibreel. That was Gabriel. That was the angel Gabriel who came to you just now. Atakum yu'allimukum dinakum. Atakum yu'allimukum dinakum. He came to you to teach you your religion. Now, your deen. Now, what Jibreel covered several topics while he was with them, questions and answers, but it's all deen. So I'm saying this to say that everything we study here is it adds up deen. This is how you focus. If you want to really understand Islam, you want to understand how to study. And you can listen to our program again on podcast. But I'm breaking it down for you, inshallah ta'ala, by the mercy of Allah, so that we all can understand it. You have to look at it in a holistic way. That this is your deen. Understand my deen. And you have to look at knowledge as it's all connected to one another. It's all connected. Knowledge is connected to this. This is connected to that. It all equals one thing, one product, which is the ilm al-deen, the knowledge of your deen. And that is your objective. That is your goal. Now, saying all that again, and I wanted to really get into a little bit about what I just talked about before we just jump into the book. Because what I want to do, inshallah ta'ala, and I hope this happens to you, is that it endears to you the study of scripture. I want to encourage you to study scripture. Encourage you to listen to my program when we study. And other people. I mean, I'm not the only one teaching scripture. But inshallah, you'll get a good understanding here. So, saying all that, every chapter, now we're talking about Riyadh al-Salihin again. If you just tuned in to us, this is Imam Luqman Ahmed, your show, The Muslim Review. Today's show is that we're studying Riyadh al-Salihin live on the air. So to start off, we see Bab al-Ikhlas wa ihdaru an-niyya fi jami' al-a'mal wal aqwal wal ahwal al-bariza wal khafiyya. And this is how this book, this chapter is entitled. It means bab, said bab, door. So you're entering into the door of ikhlas, sincerity, wa ihdaru niyyah, and the presence of intention, fi jami' al-a'mal, in all of the actions, wal aqwal, and state sayings, wal ahwal, and conditions, be it al-bariza, outward or hidden. So the way Imam put this book and how we're going to teach it, the way that he laid it out, he starts with the first chapter in the book. Riyadus Salihin is a chapter of ikhlas, sincerity. I hope you have your book with you so you can study along with us. The first verse, now let's go over style here. When Imam an-Nawawi teaches in this book, he usually starts with a verse from the Quran first. That's how he does it. He says, okay, we're going to study so-and-so section. In this case, we're talking about the niyyah, or talking about ikhlas. So the way he does it is that he starts off first by a verse in Quran. And then he goes into a hadith. He'll use verses first to Quran to show that Quran is above hadith. You know, not in accuracy. They're equal in accuracy. If it's sahih, it's sahih. But in terms of the word of Allah is above the word of anybody else. That goes without saying. So, the first verse he says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ هُنَفَاءَ وَيَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمَةَ. Now, he says, and they were not commanded except that they should worship Allah and worship none but Him alone, and establish the prescribed prayer, and to pay the poor tax, or the charity, or zakat, if you will. And that is the upright, right religion. You see how Allah uses the deen? See? So this is the beginning of it all. This is how Nabi lays it out. First thing, before you know everything else, why are you here? Why are you on the planet? Why do you exist? Why do we exist? Why are we here? We're here to worship Allah. If you want to understand a religion, you have to understand the purpose of your creation. Why are we created? Allah says in Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have not created jinn, nor mankind, and we're going to jinn on another day. We have not created jinn, nor mankind, except to worship. So, the beginning of understanding knowledge, of having knowledge, is to understand that. But worship how? Worship Allah. Mukhlisina lahuddin. Worship Allah in sincerity with the religion belonging to Him only, when He is the only one who is the object of our devotion with respect to religion. Hunafa'a. What does hunafa'a mean? Hunafa'a comes from the word hanif. And our brothers are known, you know, I know one of close friends named hanif. Hanif goes back to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Prophet Ibrahim. He was also called al-hanif. Allah says, "Wa tabi'u millati Ibrahim hanifa." وَمَا كَانَ مِنْ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Hanif, in Arabic, it means مَائِلْ إِلَى حَقَّ. It means that you're inclined towards the truth, that you position yourself, you position your heart, that you're already inclined toward the truth from the giddy-go. Meaning like, listen, you see, it's like this. You may not know what the truth is, but you're already inclined toward the truth. You're inclined to know. Like, I'm waiting for the catch. It's like, okay, you're like the outfielder. I'm waiting for the ball, the truth to come, and when it comes, I'm going to go after it. Simple as that. I'm paying attention that truth may come to me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when it comes, I'm going to try to get it. I'm going to try to catch it, to receive it. That's Hanif. I'm ready to do a good deed. I'm ready to do a blessed act. Just give me some direction. That's Hanif. So the first command is to worship Allah mukhlisina, in sincerity, with religion to Allah, being Hanif, and to establish prayer. We yaqimu salata. Qiyama or the iqamatu salat is to establish it as an institutional practice in your life. You just don't pray one time. You want to establish a prayer in your life. You want to establish the salat as institutional practice, starting with the 5 daily prayers. And that's iqamah to salat. You know, we say that when we call the iqamah. Qad qamat to salat, qad qamat to salat. The prayer is at hand, the prayer is established, the prayer is established. That's an affirmation. Well, you to zakat and to give the zakat. Like Allah says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and out of what we have given them, they spend. You know, Allah spends on you. And we're going to get to the point where we go into detail about zakat. Not today, because we're talking about ikhlas. Okay, and so that's the first order. You want to understand Islam? You want to understand knowledge? You want to acquire knowledge? You have to go through the Bab al-Ikhlas if you want to get it right. You don't go to Bab or nothing else. You go through Bab al-Ikhlas of sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the man mentions that verse. And then he mentions the verse, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُهُمُهَا وَلَا دِمَاءُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. And then he mentions the verse, Allah, no, he says, excuse me, it's not the meat of the animal that reaches Allah, nor is it its blood. But what reaches him is your taqwa. And this verse came out about a particular situation of slaughter where, make a long story short, it was a Hajj, they were slaughtering, you know, one of the rites of Hajj is you slaughter a sheep, you know, sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you distribute the food. So people who had money came with the big fat sheep, and people who didn't have as much money, they did what they could. They came with a scrawny sheep or a smaller sheep. You know, you can see the difference if you ever go into slaughter during the Eid or Hajj, but specifically, you know, during the Adha, we go out, we slaughter a lamb or a sheep, and you go and they got all kinds of, they got the big fat ones, they got the, you know, and they different costs. Your money tight, you know, I usually get the smaller joint because I don't be having the money like that. But some people go and say, I want that big. And they get the big one. Big ones cost more money. Big, healthy, you know, lamb, goat, cost more money. So some of the people who got the big sheep were ridiculing the people that got the smaller sheep. Like, well, you bringing that scrawny thing to sacrifice for a low? And I got this. I apologize for coughing. I did try to cover it up, though. And so they would make the people who, you know, got the smaller sheep feel bad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this verse. لَيْنَا لَلَّهَ لُهُمُهَا وَلَا دِمَاءُهَا وَلَيْكِنْ يَنَالُهُ أَفْتَقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. The sheep or the meat of the animal does not reach Allah, nor does its blood. But what reaches him is your taqwa, the piety in your heart. So Allah was showing, listen, man, it doesn't matter what size sheep you get. You do what you can. See, Allah don't judge people on their size, but how much you give. Because if that was the case, shoot, the rich person would be, they could buy yourselves into Jannah. And the poor person couldn't. No, Allah, he rewards you. He assesses you based upon what's in your heart, your intention. That's why Allah says, fear Allah to the degree that you can. So we got this one verse about why we're here, second verse about the meat, and then the third verse, Imam An-Nawawi mentions in Riyad al-Salihin. We're studying Riyad al-Salihin with your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed, on the Muslim Review. And so on the third verse, he mentions, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. Allah says, whether or not you cover what's inside of your breasts, not you keep it to yourself, or whether or not you make it public, or reveal it, Allah knows either way. So that's like a wa'id. That's like a threat from Allah. He's saying, look, whether or not you reveal what you're really thinking, what you're really intending in your heart, what your heart is really saying, whether or not you reveal it or you cover it up, Allah knows. So this is the exhortation for us to be sincere in our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be sincere in our hearts to Allah. Now, we're in chapter 1 of Riyad al-Salihin. Sincerity. Ikhlas to Allah. He mentioned 3 verses of the Quran. Now we're going to go to the Hadith that Imam An-Nawawi mentions. Now, the significance of this particular hadith is that this is a very, very widely spread, widely used hadith. Many scholars of Islam for this particular hadith and the readings for this particular hadith. And the hadith on Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'm going to say it to you in Arabic and I'm going to translate it into English. Hopefully you're listening and you have your book with you and maybe you have a translation of Riyad al-Salihin. On Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab ابن نفيل ابن عبد العزة ابن رياحي ابن عبد الله ابن قرط ابن زاح ابن عدي ابن كعب ابن لؤي ابن غالب القرشي العدوي رضي الله تعالى عنه. This is Umar. It's a little bit about his lineage. He's Amir al-Mu'mineen. Umar was the third Khalif of Islam. You had Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the messenger, and he died, and it was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. When Abu Bakr died, they used to call Abu Bakr Khalifa to Rasulullah. They used to call him Khalifa to Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to call Abu Bakr the Khalif, means successor, of the Messenger of Allah. When Umar became the successor of Abu Bakr, some people started to call him Khalifatu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa The Khalifa of the Khalifa of the Messenger, may peace and blessings be upon him, mean, you know, the successor of the successor of the Prophet. I don't want to say that too long. Just call me Amir al-Mu'mineen, Commander of the Faithful. And that's where that terminology came from, in his sense, as the Khalifa being called Amir al-Mu'mineen. So this hadith is on the authority of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Commander of the Faithful, Ibn Hafs. Abi Hafs, father of Hafs, Umar ibn al-Khattab, son of Khattab, Ibn Nufail, son of Nufail, Abdul Uzza, son of Abdul Uzza, and so on. We go all the way down his lineage, and he was from the Quraysh tribe. He said, and maybe one day next week we'll go, because I want to go into the lineage of Umar a little bit, but I don't have that much time left in the show. We're still, we have maybe less than 10 minutes in the show, and we haven't even exhausted this bab, and there's no rush. There's no rush for this study. You can tune in every week at 12 noon Pacific time, 3 o'clock Eastern time, to the Muslim Review Blog Talk Radio with your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed. And there's no rush. We're not rushing to get through any text. We're just working to understand the text by permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we're doing. So if we don't get through the whole hadith or the whole section on any given week, then listen, I'm telling you, trust me on this right here. This is how study is done in Islam. You know, if you're going to a university, you know, we had to get through certain texts in a certain amount of time and so on, you know. We had that. I remember when we used to study at the Haram of Mecca, and there was no time limit. You know, you go to the Jamia, you go to university, where was that? When I was at Umm al-Qura University in Mecca, you have a section. You got to get through. Like, you know, it's measured. You know, you got your credits, and you want to get, you know, just trying to get you through the text. But you go to the Haram or some of the Masajid, some of the other Shiur who you study with, man, it's no rush, man. It's no rush at all. I used to have... Sheikh, he used to make you read the text of the book we were studying from. I think it was Rawd al-Murabi', which is an explanation of Zad al-Mustaqni, actually, Hanbali film. Anyway, you used to have to do I'rab. You used to have to read the text and then break down what the text, you had to break down the grammatical position of every word. Every, as you're reading the text, you have to break it down. You know, this is maf'ul, this is so-and-so, this is fa'l fil madi, whatever. Anyway, I was just saying that to say there was no rush getting through it. So anyway, so in the hadith on Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Commander of the Faithful, this is what he said. He said, Sami'atu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته للدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. In the hadith, which is متفق عليه أو متفق على صحته. And I'm going to explain that. But first I'm going to translate the hadith for you, and we only have a few minutes left. But and then next week we're going to really go more into the detail about this hadith and the rest of the bab, the rest of the chapter. Inshallah. Now, maybe not even the rest. We may spend a couple weeks on this chapter, and it's okay. Umar said that I heard the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, deeds are considered by their intention. And a person will get the reward according to what he intended. So whoever makes a migration for the sake of Allah and his messenger, this migration will be for Allah and his messenger, and whomever migrated for worldly benefit or for the world to gain from it or for a woman in order to marry her, then will be for what he migrated for. And that hadith is what they call muttafiqun alayhi, or you may say agreed upon in any translation. What does muttafiqun alayhi mean? It means that hadith was compiled in both Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, which are the two most authentic books of hadith, that they both agree that this is a accurate, authentic tradition from or of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Imam Nawawi only relates sound hadith in this particular book, Riyad al-Salihin. Okay, so it shows that you get what you intended. Now, that's all we have for today. We're going to talk more about the hadith next week. I hope that you've learned something, inshallah ta'ala. I hope you enjoyed this program. Tell your friends about it. Before we go, I want to talk about a couple of things. In the 2 minutes we have left, one, I want to direct you to my blog, Imam Luqman, IMAMLUQMAN .wordpress.com. And I want to direct you also to the book, my newest book, Double-Edged Slavery, which is a very, very important book for this time. And it breaks down the condition of African-American and convert Muslims in America and the colonial disposition that we find ourselves in. If you want to understand what's going on in our community here in America, I don't care if you're black, white, immigrant, or non-immigrant, don't matter where you're from, but if you want to understand what's going on in the heart of the, you know, what's stopping us, where the blockage is, you want to read this book. It's called Double-Edged Slavery, and you can go to my blog, imamluqman.wordpress.com, see a link to it, or you can go directly to amazon.com. You can also get it from Al-Furqan Bookstore in Philadelphia. You can get it from Brother Kwame Madam from Peekskill, New York, and other So next week, inshallah, we'll continue on this field of study. We may talk about some other stuff going on, but we're going to continue for the remainder of this year, inshallah ta'ala. And I'm going to thank you for tuning in to the Muslim Review with your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed. And hopefully we'll talk to you next week. This broadcast is available offline. Well, it's still online, but after the show is over, this broadcast is recorded. So if you missed the show, you can listen to it from in its entirety again. I'll make that available on my Facebook page, Luqman Ahmed. I want also to direct you to my Twitter page, Luqman Ahmed. So follow me on Twitter. And thanks for tuning in. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك ونشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت ونستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله Could you hear the show? So yeah, I love talking like this. Yeah, I'm gonna have to do two shows. Two shows. We need to get the funding so we're not gonna have to
schedule. Yeah. I said, I'm going to look at your schedule. Yeah, that's good. Friday. I'm in the middle of the park.